So one of the things when we walk into a celebration like this, and whether it's 50 or 119 or 73 years, the question is always that is lurking kind of in the background is this idea of why are we still here and how did we get here? Like, you know, people, if you go to a 50th wedding anniversary, they're like, how did you make it? Give us advice. And the same thing in this, we go, hey, well, how did we get here? What did this look like? Because most institutions don't make it this long. We know this from church planting statistics that the average church plant that starts out lasts less than 5 years. Only 20% of them make it. And we also know that even out of that 20%, most of them don't see their second decade of life as a church. And so you go, well, how did we get here? How did this happen? What happened in the middle of this? Like, you think of just not even churches, you think of like all institutions. How many of you guys remember Blockbuster? That was one of my childhood favorite places. I loved going there, Blockbuster. Does anyone want to take a guess of how long that existed? That's pretty close. No, it was a little longer than 22. Anybody else want to take a guess? 23? 28 is the answer. 28. It lasted from 1985 to 2013. I think there still is actually one left, but it's more nostalgia than anything else. In 2004, the revenue for Blockbuster was $5.9 billion. And so no one thought they were going out, but they only lasted 28 years. And so that question looms, like, how did we get here? How did we make this? And I will tell you, as I was thinking about that question, I was thinking back, I never met Pastor Zweihuizen, but I got to stand in the work that he did. I met Pastor Steve, you met Pastor Steve, and I got to stand in that. But there was all of us, there was a single mission. There was a single mission. Zweihuizen came, and he was a pharmacist who was burdened with the gospel for college students. And he said, I'm gonna buy this property. I'm going to have these rooms above where I'm going to rent it out to college students. And there's going to be an ice cream shop below. And he's gathering them in the name for one reason. The gospel. The good news. One reason. That was it. He wanted people to meet, know, and follow Jesus. And he had a heart for college students that God himself put on his heart. Fast forward to 1975, they install their first full-time pastor. And he sits here with us today. And he did his dissertation. I'm gonna tell about all your research. His dissertation was, can a church survive with just college students? Here's what he found. No. No. But he came with a mission to share the gospel with college students and to focus in on Michigan Tech. They had speaking engagements. They were connected to Michigan Tech in a really cool way of trying to help faculty. They had faculty Bible studies, and they used to meet at Vicky's for breakfast and read books together. Why? Because of the gospel, because of the good news of Jesus. In 2014, the church said, hey, there's college students, there's Michigan Tech, and they always had this in the background, but there's also this larger community of Houghton County. And that's when I came. And they said, let's reach them. Let's do this. And God, in his providence and his grace, allowed us to become a household name. Through some tragedy, 2018, Father's Day flood, we all remember it. We became this mission outpost for the community. We became like all of a sudden people are coming in and we're sending people out, and God did that. And we gave up our space to the community. And there's just these really cool things that happen. And we said, we're going to reach Houghton County. We're going to believe that God wants us to. But it wasn't, the mission was always the same. What are we reaching Houghton County with? Not putting people in the seats. With the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we said, 81%, and this is still true, 81% of people this morning will not be in any given church in Houghton County. There are 68 churches in Houghton County, and our mission is to share the good news. Here's how we did it. One foundation, one mission, Jesus Christ in Him alone. That's it. That's all we've ever done. We have one mission, one idea, one thought. We said yes to college students. We said yes to MTU faculty. And we said yes to Houghton County because we believe that they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not here today because we had the right programs or the flashiest music or even the right people. Now, all of our programs, if you look at our programs, Awana, Men's 33, MOPS, BSF, and there's all kinds of other ones. What do they all have in common? They point people to Jesus. They point people to Jesus. We were not interested in religious activity. We were interested in people meeting, knowing, and following the greatest news that we've ever found, and that is the gospel. That's what we were interested in. And so I firmly believe that we made it this long for one reason only, a firm foundation on the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. I will tell you, I never met Zweihuizen, but I kind of feel like I've met him because I've heard so many good stories about him. And I will tell you, he would say it. I think Pastor Wilson would say it. And I would tell you the same thing. This church has not survived, has survived not because of remarkable leadership, remarkable resources, or remarkable location. It survived because of a remarkable Savior. And we built our lives upon that. We built the life of the church upon that foundation. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, he has this, it's the end of this long sermon that he has. It's a famous sermon, and it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he essentially says, when the storms come, and they will come, whether it be in your personal life or the life of the church, they will come. The question that has been being quietly answered for many years and throughout the years for evangel over and over again is, what have we built our lives on? What have we built the life of the church on? And this is the words that are there in Matthew chapter 7. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Notice something striking about this parable, about Jesus' teaching. Jesus doesn't say that the wise man's house somehow avoided storms. The wind still blew, the flood still came, the water still rose. The difference was not the weather. The difference was the foundation. I think this is one of the most misunderstood things that we sometimes think in our lives. If we just do, if we do this or we do that, or if we just do these things, then somehow we'll be bulletproof in the storms. And the reality is, no, none of us are bulletproof in the storms. We all have storms. We will all have storms. And every church will have storms. That's just how it works. The question is what is the foundation built on? I was thinking about this. I was thinking about some of the years, and I was kind of spanning through my head through all of these years, 1953, and I was kind of walking through those things and thinking about just the upheaval that was just in the culture. This church survived through the Vietnam War. This church survived through a lot of different things that happened in the middle of all of that. It survived through the digital revolution. It survived through kind of the unraveling of the Upper Peninsula in many ways. Let many small communities in the Upper Peninsula, people started to leave because there wasn't work. And this church survived in the middle of that. God did something in the middle of this. and you see these storms, you see these things that happen. There's been leadership transitions. I will tell you that taking over, the thing that scared me most about coming, well, part of it is I'm coming home and people knew me as a kid. That was scary too. But part of what I was scared about is this guy had been here for 40 years. How do I fill those shoes? And are they going to allow me to? And it was a scary thing. And you can look at statistics all over the place. What my job was in that, and I felt like God was saying yes, the church was saying yes. And I was like, oh goodness, I'm going to be the interim pastor. I'm going to be there like 2 years and they're going to kick me out. That's because that's what happens statistically. Like, I'm just the interim for the next guy. I'm just coming in and then they're used to somebody different. But that's not what God did. We've made it through some of the anxiety of change. This is one of the most transient places that I've ever lived. And I've not lived in my adult life in a non-metropolitan area. This is the most transient place. We say hello to people and we say goodbye to people. And you all can think in your heads of people who have just moved away. Maybe they're a professor or maybe they're a family that you are deeply connected to. I think of a Steve Techman. He moved to Ohio, which I'm still a little bitter about. Like, why would you move to Ohio, buddy? And so he moved to Ohio. And still, like it's just, we say hello. This year in September, we'll say hello to a bunch of new college students, Lord willing. We said goodbye to a bunch of college students in May, right? And it's just a hello and goodbye that happens here. I mean, some of you went through personal tragedy and the church came around you. Some of you maybe still be living in this or have experienced this. Some of you have prodigal children and you're praying for them and you're still surviving through that. And the storm came and the storm was apart. This church has faced those things and faced those storms and faced those times where the water rose and the tensions were high. The house is standing not because we were exceptional, but because the foundation was exceptional. Here's the gospel underneath all this. Jesus isn't simply a teacher who gives us good advice or good construction advice. He's not saying, here's the religious effort that you need to do. What he's calling people into is this. He's calling people into union with himself. The rock on which the house is built, the foundation, isn't a set of principles. It's the foundation is the very person of Jesus Christ. That's who we build our lives upon. Everything that he said, everything that he does, his salvation, he is reality. We are not reality. He is the king. We are not the king. And we say yes to him and amen. That's what we do. That is the gospel that we've been saying and spraying for many, many moons. Jesus Christ and him alone, his death, burial, and resurrection for you and for me, dirty, rotten little sinners who needed a savior. That's what we've been saying a long, long time. This is what we hold to. It is not because we're good. It's because he is good. I was a little overwhelmed as I looked at some pictures and I was looking at it. I will tell you the pictures of the church progression out there really just caught me. The frosty Dairy Frost, that's what it's called. The Dairy Frost to this Hiawatha Mission Church to this addition to Evangel Shopko Church. It just this movement just caught me by surprise and kind of overwhelmed me the other day. And I was thinking about how every generation inherits something it did not earn. I sure did. I think Pastor Steve will say he did too. He didn't earn all of that. It was given to him. Zweihuysen said, hey, I'm going to do this. And before Zweihuysen, there was some crazy Finns who were in 1907 who came to this land. And I don't know why they came to this land, but they came here to mine and do things. And they said, these people, these miners, these Finnish people need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to hold this up. And so every generation has this movement of something that they did not earn. Every generation, though, has to have the same vision of building their lives upon the rock. I think all of the pastors would tell you this. I think Zweihuysen was praying when no one was watching. There's a really cool little snippet from his son out there about the burden that God placed upon his heart. And he did not want to do it, but he's like, well, God said to do this, so I'm just going to choose to do this. And he chose to do this. He stepped out in faith. Steve's from Grand Rapids. His daddy is a seminary professor, and he comes to the UP. I don't know. Maybe it was, I don't know. Like, maybe he loved the UP. But there wasn't like this incredible, am I correct? There wasn't like this incredible, like, bunch of family here. You're Finnish. You're probably not. You're probably, what are you, Dutch? You're in Grand Rapids. I'm just going with that, right? But I'm sure there were many days of just praying when nobody was watching, going, God, how do we do this? I'm thinking about people in the congregation. This place cost other people things. It cost sacrifice through the years. They served in ways that no one will ever know. Showing up for Awana for all of those weeks, it's a long haul. But since what, 1985? Is that right? 1982. We've been doing this faithfully. People have stepped in that. And no one will know the time and the commitment of doing that. And it doesn't really matter because we don't work for that. But there is someone who knows and someone who's written it down. And his name is Jesus. And so there's this costliness. They trusted in all of these matters. There's been generosity throughout the years. I will tell you, there's just lots of great stories of people's faithfulness and just tithing and giving. You talk to Kathy Tazak, her husband comes to meet Jesus through it. It's like the craziest, wild story. Frazier and Carla will tell you an incredible story, and many others will tell you stories of God's faithfulness when they said yes to him and said, hey, we're going to tithe, we're going to do this. But it cost them something, and some of it was it wasn't really glamorous, but it was just faithful. Over and over again, we're standing in this house today and I realize that we did not build, worshiping a God who was faithful before. This is what overwhelmed me. Before we ever arrived, God was faithful. Before we ever arrived to get to this, God was faithful. And he will be faithful long after we are gone. This isn't just nostalgia. This is like theology. This is like God is faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talks about this, and he says, one person plants, another waters, but it is God who gives the growth. The previous generation of this church planted, they watered, and some of them are now in glory. Some are in this room. And the growth for all of this time, we didn't produce that. God produced that. It all belongs to him, according to Paul. Here's where 50th anniversaries, I think, can go wrong, or, you know, these celebrations. There's something beautiful about looking at pictures, and it brings back such good, warm memories. We remember those moments and those times, and we remember the people who were in our lives, and maybe you remember you're raising your kids, and just that joyous season of life that you had in that moment. But I think one of the risks is it can become a museum visit. We walk through the exhibits, we look at the pictures, we remember these moments and all the warmth of it. We nod to the achievements, and then we go home more settled in our nostalgia than waken to the mission that God has given us. Jesus' parable, though, won't let us do that. The parable is not about preservation. It's about building. The parable is not a plaque on the wall. It's not a plaque on the wall. It's a blueprint of what you're supposed to do. The wise man built his house on the rock, past tense, because the work was done. But here's the reality of Evangel Baptist Church, doing business as Evangel Community Church. Here is the reality. The work's not done. The work is not done. So we need to keep building the house on the Lord. you know, legacy for all of us. I'm getting a little older now, and I'm thinking about that. I've been thinking about, it's kind of a seductive word in some senses. It sounds noble, like I want to leave this legacy. But a legacy unchecked, this is what it does. It becomes about us, our names, our preferences, our era, our way of doing things. And the moment the church becomes about preserving our legacy is the moment we dethrone the one who it's all about. It's all about Jesus. This whole book is about Jesus. This whole church is about Jesus and all of his glory and all of his goodness. Paul, the apostle, he had more things to brag about than any of us sitting in here and probably any of us sitting here combined. Right? He just accomplished things. God just captured him in a powerful way. And in through the work of Jesus in his life, he established churches. And we sit here today on that foundation of all of this work that he did. And he refused the throne of legacy entirely. This is what he said. I don't boast in my accomplishments. I don't boast in my things. I don't boast in my righteousness. I don't boast in any of that. What do I boast in? In Christ alone. I boast in him. Which brings us to this place. We honor those who came before us. We truly do. I realize the privilege it is to stand here today. We honor who came before us. But we honor them in a very specific way. It's not by idolizing that time period or idolizing them or idolizing any of that or preserving everything that was built. We honor them by doing what they did. We honor them by trusting the same rock, building on the same foundation, giving our lives to the same Jesus who anchored those who came before us. The question today is not, Is the foundation good enough for 50 years? The question today, will we continue building on that same foundation for the next 50? And here's why this matters. I said this earlier, 81% of people will not be in church, in any given church in Houghton County today. 81%. 8 out of 10 of your friends, the people that you coach hockey with or baseball with, they won't be in church. The people that you go and I don't know if anybody goes to Walmart anymore. There's shoppers for that. But when you go to Totex, the people you see in Totex, like 81% of them will not be in church. They will not be connected to the foundational truth of the gospel. There was a guy not too long ago. He said that he goes, man, you guys say the gospel all the time. And I said, yeah, we do. I mean, every week we're going to say, you need Jesus. You need his blood that was shed. You need his body that was given. Absolutely. And he goes, well, is there that many new people coming in that don't know that? And I said, well, yeah, there are new people, but it's not just for the new people. That's for me and for you. We need to be reminded as the gathered church why we're gathered. We're gathered in the name of Jesus. It is our firm foundation. That's why we gather. That's why we celebrate. That's why we come together to celebrate. Why? Because storms are coming. Jesus tells us that. Some of your friends, some of your family members, some of your hockey friends, some of your baseball friends or football friends or school friends, guess what? They're building their house upon the sand and a storm is going to come. This is my heart. I think this is my heart because God gave it to me, but I think he gave it a long time ago to this church. We want everyone to come to repentance. We want everyone, want no one to perish. We want no one to build their life upon the sand. We want all to build their life upon Jesus. We want to live the good news here in the Copper Country and share with the world. We want that. We desire that. My heart in all of this is that we would see this continually. I was talking to my wife and I said, you know, someday, I'm not quite at retirement, but man, I've been praying for the person. I've been praying for like God, like in this next generation, who are you going to raise up? Who are you going to raise up to do the same thing over and over again, to speak the gospel? Oh, I know they'll probably do it different than me. They will. And I told her, I said, you know, if I ever get old and cranky, and which I probably am getting there, but like, just remind me that it's about Jesus. It's not, they're going to do things to reach their generation that's different than how I did it. Or how Steve did it, or how Zweihuizen did it. They're going to do something. But if they have the gospel as their foundation, they have Jesus as their foundation, may I say, praise God, that we can continue to build, that we can continue to move. My heart is to see that happen. I shared this at our annual meeting. This is an incredible facility, isn't it? God provided this. This is way outside of what we ever dreamed and what we ever thought and what we ever believed. And we're going to go into a whole nother section where there's a whole bunch of workers that I'm thankful for that are preparing a meal for us right now. And you can't hear them. They can't really hear us. It's pretty incredible that we went from 12,500 square feet with a house to 78,000 square feet of fun. And God did that. Partially, he encouraged his people to do that. And I will tell you this. This isn't a fundraising thing. I just want to tell you what I talked about at our annual meeting. I said, you know, my heart is this. We owe $1 million still on this building. To build this, just to give you a reference, this building would cost about $38 million to build right now. So in 1993, Shopko said, we're going to build Evangel Community Church, a building for Evangel Community Church. And I'm so thankful for that. We owe $1 million since I said this. And I said, you know, my heart is this, that we would just pay that off. And the reason for that is this, so we can build more stuff and all that. So we can use the resources that we have. And this is a resource. This building is a resource. If this building blew up tomorrow, I will tell you, we would have church somewhere. We would gather in the name of Jesus somewhere. I don't know exactly. We don't have a contingency on that, so no one blow it up. But we would do it somewhere. Maybe at I do like the Rosé Center. That is very comfortable. Yeah, that's good. My heart is that we would pay it off so we could staff more, we could reach out more, that we could use all of our money, the ministry money, to help people do one thing: meet, know, and follow Jesus. It's the greatest news that we have. I want to share it with the world. I want to live it in the copper country, and I want to share it with the world. I want it to come out. I want us to be a mission outpost where we're sending missionaries from the local church to the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus. Jesus said, the wise man hears his words and puts them into practice. Jesus is the rock. We build our whole life upon it. Christ himself. As we think about this, Jesus sustains it all. Jesus sustained, like, our salvation is sealed through the work that he did for us on the cross. His resurrection is proof that the rock is still relevant today. Still useful today, still good news for today. We don't build on Christ because we're strong enough to deserve such a foundation. We build on Christ because he's strong enough to hold us all together. This is why 50 years of faithfulness is a gospel story, not because this congregation, not because the leadership, not because the board members, not because of all of those things. It's because of one thing and one thing only. It is because of Jesus. His grace has held what human efforts could never hold together and sustain. The wise man's house stood because it was attached to something stronger than itself. And if he remains our foundation, if we refuse to trade the rock for anything less than the best chapters of this church's story, I think are ahead of us. This is why. There are many people that have come to know Jesus through the work that God has done here at Evangel. But the best years are ahead of us because this, more people will come to know Jesus. More people will be connected to the rock. More people will connect their story to God's story, which is always what? A great story. I think those years are ahead of us as we see more and more people reaching for truth and us going, man, you can come out of the storm You can hear the good news. You can begin to build your life upon the cornerstone, upon the reality of who God is. You can find forgiveness of sin. You can find true joy. You can find eternal life. Church, we exist to help people do this. Meet, know, and follow Jesus in the Copper Country and to the ends of the earth. The question I think that we wrestle with today is, will we continue to do it for 50 more? I want to pray for us. I want to pray for the future generation. No generation claims this church. And I like that. Only one person claims this church, and his name is Jesus. No era. But I want to have just, I want us to continue to move on the foundation that was given to us, to continue to hold on to the resources that God has provided through the faithfulness of his people, through them building their lives upon that, that we may hand it off someday to this next generation and go, to God, all glory be to Christ. And them, for them to know that and understand that and to believe that and to preach that week after week after week. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We are gathered in your name because of what he did for us on the cross. God, I pray that to this next generation, that you will continue to be faithful to them as they reach out and as they speak the truth. God, I pray for us right now in these years as we continue to move forward in the direction that you have called us. God, give us wisdom for the pathway that you've laid before us. God, thank you for the generations that have come before the time, the people that are now in glory with you. I think of Bob Patterson right now, all of the times that he did this incredible library. God, I think of others who have gone before, Zweihuizen and all of the other people that are the saints that we're going to see someday again, and I'm thankful for them. God, I just ask that as we build upon their lives, build upon what they did, build upon that they built their life upon the rock, you, your Son, Jesus. God, may we do the same. May we continue to do the same. May we continue to have a gospel call for this community. May we have a gospel call for the whole world. May we live this good news here in the Copper Country and share it with the world. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.